covenant. God's covenant. What is the word covenant in the Hebrew tongue? It's very important that you understand it. It's bret. And bret means to cut. To cut and divide. And of course it means flesh. Covenant. God's covenant. What is the word covenant in the Hebrew tongue? It's very important that you understand it. It's bret. And bret means to cut. To cut and divide. And of course it means flesh. Well, why could that be? Well, for there to be the remission of sins, for there to be the presence of God, there must be the shedding of blood to bring about or to seal the promise. That's His way of doing things. That's why ultimately it would be Christ's blood on the cross that would be the eternal covenant, or the covenant for the remainder of this age. Now, the word then, to cut or to divide, being covenant, is a covenant between God and man? Yes. It was a covenant made to Abraham, but there was a covenant to Noah before this that there would always be the rainbow, that he would not flood the earth again with water. And there are various covenants, and Abraham being... it would be about 14 years later that the blessed event would take place, but he made a covenant with him also and his seed. And, of course, that seed would, at that time, would look to a human being to be an impossibility because Sarah was past childbearing age, and Abraham was certainly an old man. When the actual event would take place, Sarah would be 90 and he would be 100 years old. But it's to show you that God keeps His Word. Open your Bibles to the Old Testament, first book of the Bible, Genesis, and let's go to chapter 15 for a moment. Abraham was called Abram at this time. And Abraham didn't have a son. This would even be before, there was only a servant when the promise was made. So the point being, even if it takes a little time, in this case I think it was about 14 years, be patient with God. You know, a lot of people get impatient in 14 years. 14 years is a long time. But time means not that much to our Father. And you must remember also, covenants except the promise are kind of conditional also if you intend to be a part of it. What is the condition ultimately with Christ? You must believe. If you don't believe, you can forget the covenant. You're not going to share in it. You're not going to have any part of it. So it's a very serious thing to be a non-believer. But it helps to strengthen your belief, if that be possible, by knowing the schoolmaster that God placed in motion for us to better understand. So, he's making the promise to Abraham, chapter 15. Let's pick it up with verse 8, after the promise is made. How did it come to pass? Genesis 15, verse 8, and it reads, "And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?" In other words, the promise of the land, that he later his name would be changed. He would be a blessing to many nations, meaning Gentiles as well. How can I know this? Have you ever asked God that? How do I know, God, this is what you want me to do? Pretty common remark or thought in one's mind. So he asked, 9, and he said unto him, this is how he showed him, "Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon." Verse 10, "And he took unto him all these, and divided," that is to say, cut, them in the midst, exactly in half, so that the contract is even, Stephen. All right? And laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. In other words, half of the sacrifice is here, or the offering, and half here. Now, this is not a sacrifice, and I should not have used that word, because this is a covenant being made, a blood covenant. Verse 11, and when the fowls came down upon the carcass, says, Abram drove them away. You got to be careful when you're setting up your work for the Father, because the fowls of the air will try to mess up your plan. Did God drive them away? Uh-uh. Abraham did. So you have to think about that. When you're doing your Father's work and when you're talking with Him, or if you're entering into a covenant, nothing wrong with you entering into a covenant with the Father if you know exactly what you're doing. That is to say, giving Him a promise on condition or something of that nature. It isn't wise, I'll tell you that, but some people do. Verse 12, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, and horror of great darkness fell upon him. This is to let you know that Abraham is in the subconscious and had absolutely nothing to do with what follows. It was God's doing, okay? He's out of it, other than in the spiritual sense. Verse 13, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety, that's a legal term, meaning I guarantee that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. This was before the fact. This was before they went into the Egyptian captivity. And also, that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. And they're going to get rich while they're there. And they did. Everything God does for you, though it was captivity for 400 years, they turned out more prosperous than when they went in. They were loaded down. The Egyptians were willing to give them anything to get rid of them. 15. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. And Abraham did live to be a good old age. 16. But, sharpen up for me, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Now, the Amorites were only the largest tribe or group of people that were in the land of the Canaanites. So they were used overall for all the inhabitants in the land of the Canaanites. And ultimately, they would inherit this land. All right? 17. And it came. I want to say one more thing on that. Four generations and they're coming back. Do you know about what year? In other words, four units. How long is? And this has nothing to do with this. I just choose to throw it in at this time. About what year did this take place in? Somewhere close around 2000 BC. How long is one day with the Lord? It's 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as one day of the Lord. How long would four units be before that return would take place if we were to look at it in days for the God? 2,080. Just thought I might wake you up a little bit with that. Not that I'm setting any dates, but just something for you to kind of mull over a little bit, all right? In other words, there would be a return to the so-called promised land at that time. 17, and it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces, the carcasses of the animals, passed right through the center. This is symbolic of our Father. He is a consuming fire. He would later, as He was delivering them out of the bondage from the land of Egypt, He would be a pillar of fire in the darkness, showing Abraham that He did pass through, and this sealed the contract. 18, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river of the river Euphrates. The Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Hadmonites, and the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, that's the fallen angels, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Jebusites were the one that would later, that would form Jerusalem when David would take it and name it Jerusalem. Now let me ask you something. The signing of the contract is to pass between the bloods. Did Abraham walk through? Answer, no. God, number one, Abram wasn't on the level with God. You know, no comparison can man be with our Father. It was God's way of saying, I make this promise not only to you, but to your seed after you. And so it is that later, that same blood that would be the blood of Christ would be the promise of God that you would have eternal life if you believed upon Him. These things were only shadows, but there had, in other words, when there is sin, somebody's got to pay. Right? When there is crime, somebody's got to pay. Either the victim is going to pay it or the criminal is going to pay back. But I don't care. It is just the natural order of things. There are no free rides in this world. Many might say, well, if I believe upon Jesus Christ, I get a free ride to heaven. You'll never make it to heaven. It wasn't free. And if your condition of mind is that Christ didn't pay a price for it with His own life, then you're kidding yourself. It's only free to you. It wasn't free. He paid it for you. And if you don't recognize that, then you haven't humbled yourself and loved Him the way you should for what He has done for you. That He, as He told him to divide, Brit, covenant, divide and cut. What happens when you cut flesh? It bleeds. That God Himself would walk through that blood, sign that covenant, even as Christ Himself would shed that blood and make the guarantee, you can count on it. God loves you. And when you repent upon that blood, you are free indeed. You're loose. The shackles come off. I don't care what kind of a sinner you've been. It's paid. But it did cost a price. And so it is. Now, with that having been said, let's go to Leviticus for a moment. Leviticus chapter 2. You all know what the first fruits are. God's elect are the first fruits. We're going to look at something very carefully here concerning a covenant that the first fruits must bear in their mind. Verse 12, listen carefully. Chapter 2, the book of Leviticus, the law. As for the oblation of the first fruits, as for the offering of the first fruits, ye shall offer them unto the Lord, but they shall not be burnt on the altar for a sweet savour. Listen to me. And every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. We're talking to the first fruit, those that believe, God's elect. It shall be salted. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant. What? The covenant, Brit, of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. Does that remind you of something? It should. I didn't plan this, but I'm going to, let's go to Mark. We're not going to leave the Old Testament yet. The 9th chapter of the book of Mark. Many might say, well, you're back there in the Old Testament teaching. Yeah, but you see, it has the same author. It's the inspired Word of God, both the old and the new. One was just a school teacher that simplifies it where even a child can understand the offering. Mark chapter 9, verse 49. And Christ's teaching here, the words of Yeshua Messiah. For everyone shall be salted with fire. In other words, God is a consuming fire. And the very salt of the offering itself is part of the fire, being God, that went through the divided pieces. Salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. What does this do to you? It documents to you, number one, who he's talking to, first fruits. And number two, it lets you know that you better be salted a little bit with the fire that walked through the pieces. And what does salt do? Salt flavors. Salt makes a difference. The life can be so bland that it's boring. But a little salt of God can make life so very interesting. So, as first fruits, you're supposed to make a difference where you walk a little bit. It may just be a, hi, good morning, you're looking good today. You know, that picks people up and so forth. And verse 50, salt is good. But if the salt hath lost his saltiness, wherewith will you season it? Have you salt in yourselves? And have peace one with another? How salty are you? Do you, when you go into a crowd, has your old salt lost its savor so much that you say, well, I wonder what happened to that one. Boy, what a long-necked, faced person that is. You can tell they're a sad sack. Never saw such a sad sack in my life. No salt. No zip. And that's why I so love. Now, I know we all have bad days, all right? That has nothing to do with that. I'm talking about when you're up and your motor's going and you're hitting on both cylinders, all right? Or for some of us, eight. All right? Or some of us run on turbines, you know, little jets. Be that as it may. You should make a difference, you know, even if you're having a bad day. If somebody says, how are you doing? You got a half hour. Boy, this is sad. You know, it's really bad today. You know, don't do that to them. You've already hopefully told it to the Father. He knows, and that's all that's necessary. It'll be taken care of. Beloved, you should make a difference. Not set the world on fire. That's not what being salty means. But to make a difference to God's children, boy, how He loves His children enough that He became the sacrifice. And when you make one of them feel a little better and help them out and get them back on course a little bit, it makes God's day. Even the angels in heaven rejoice over that one. It's important. And it does make a difference. So as first fruits, add that little saltiness to that oblation. That's your, you know what oblation means? It means the daily offering. And it means the offering of yourself. If you have a little fire in you, He offered Himself. Can you offer yourself? That is to say, into His service. That you can be an uplifter. A salty dude. All right? That you do make a difference. And in my time in the military, being salty really had a little different meaning than that. But a little of that doesn't hurt either. All right? I'll let that go for just the servicemen, X, that is, or there's never an ex-serviceman, you know, you can always snap to, you know, it just once, always. So, what have we thought here? Brit. God made this covenant and promise that His seed would become as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. Where are they today? It's important. I mean, that's a lot of people. That's not just a few million. Like, the tribe of Judah alone is about 19 million today. Well, that's not stars of the sky. We got a bunch of people missing somewhere. All right? So, covenant made. Now, Psalms 25. Psalms 25. You know, we mentioned a moment ago that people do have bad days at times. Everybody does. That's all right. If you have faith and you know that it's going to be better tomorrow. All right? I want to start with the 8th verse. This is David, which is the stem of Jesse through which Christ would come. The one that would offer himself. This is that lineage and it is part of the key of David. Verse 8 reads, "Good and upright is the Lord." Can you accept that? Anything He does is good and upright. Therefore will He teach. I say it again. He will teach sinners in the way. What way? We're all sinners and we fall short. And if you don't admit it, you're lying to yourself and probably to several people around you. We all fall short. Nothing to be proud of, certainly. But that's why we repent. The way is Christ, of course. 9. The meek will He guide. In judgment. That means justice, fairness. And the meek will He teach His way. Has He taught you? Well, how does He teach me? Right here. This is His Word. Right? That's the way He teaches you. Is from the words. Why do you think He gave the teaching words to the prophets, apostles, and so forth? So that you could be taught. Verse 9, all the paths, that means the plans. Do you know what God's plans are? No, of course we don't, but we do overall His plan that He has shared with us, His Word. All the plans or the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. What is a testimony? It is a covenant. That's why we can say the Old Covenant and the New Testament is the Old, or the New Covenant rather, is we can say the Old Testament and the New Testament. When the testator dies, the testament or the will becomes effective. You can have it today because Christ died on the cross for you. That's the covenant. That's the dividing, the Brit, the passing through. 11, for Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon or forgive mine iniquity, for it is great, my sin. David crying this out. What man is he that feareth the Lord? And again, there's that Hebrew word that should be translated revered, loved, the Lord. Him shall He teach in the way that he shall choose. Don't just read over this, beloved. We're talking about our Father. He will teach you in the way that you should choose, that He chooses. Why? He has different things for certain of us to do. We're not cut out with cookie cutters, and you can tell by looking at us. We're not. We're all different. And therefore, God has many servants, and it's all one body, but there are different things that must be done. Christ Himself, even when He fed the multitude, He didn't feed them. He broke the bread, blessed it, and then gave it to the disciples, and they fed them. God has many duties, but He will teach you. So don't ever say, boy, well, it's all right to be honest with yourself and people, but man, I'm a slow learner. I just cannot understand God's word, some might say. Well, ask Him to help you understand. Do you know something? As sure as in counseling, when some beautiful lady is married to the stubbornest, most aggravating critter you've ever seen in your life, I mean, nobody can talk any sense to him. He knows everything. He's going to do what he wants to do, come hell nor high water. And you do all you can do. She's done all she can do. And when you turn that over to God, have you ever seen anybody twist a mule's tail when they won't go? I mean, get some giddy-up go to them. God can change minds. God deals in minds. So He can teach you. That's my point. He can teach other people. It is one of the most beautiful miracles in life to me to have done all people could do and then see God change a person. Boy, it is so great because we know. I mean, if you ever needed a proof God was real or God's plan is true, that's it. Okay? I'm not saying He'll do that every time, but I've witnessed it many times. He can help you mentally, spiritually, and physically to have a deeper understanding of His Word and the simplicity in which de facto He has given it. All right? Verse 13, His soul shall dwell at ease. And when God chooses your way and you follow it, that's the way it is. And His seed shall inherit the earth. That's a promise. It's a guarantee. You don't have to worry about it. Wonder what I'll have. You've got it all. Your Father owns it. The secret, I call it the secret counsel if you want to. The secret counsel of the Lord is with them that fear Him. That's to say, revere Him, love Him. And He will show or teach them His covenant. Has He taught you His covenant, Brit? Has He taught you His Brit? Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net. The net of deception. There's no way that Satan or anyone else can deceive you if you understand the plan of God. The coming of the false Messiah, the coming of the true Messiah. No way can anyone deceive you. God will touch your mind and pluck your feet right out of the net of deception. Turn, 16, turn then to me. There's part of it, friend. And have mercy upon me, for I am desolate. I'm lonely and afflicted. And of course, David was at this time. Many of you are today. When you're lonely, always know this, you're never alone. Because He's always with you. If you believe. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distress. Lead me out. And God would. Look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I, underline this in your mind, for I put my trust in Thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. For I wait, listen carefully, for I wait on Thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Preserve. Why would God pick salt? Doesn't it sound just so strange that He would say, you are salt? What does salt do to meat? I mean, I don't know how many of you have ever done any meat curing or anything like that. It preserves it. In other words, you make a covenant that's preserved. Sure. It's not going to rot. It's not going to change. It's going to cure. And it's going to be good. God uses these chemicals where that we can use actual life experiences and grow by them. It's just that simple. That's why you must salt. You don't salt it. Now, many of you younger people, you've got refrigerators and freezers and, oh boy, and Ziploc bags, and you just flip it in there and throw it in the freezer, and it's done. When I used to help my old grandmammy, we'd get out and shuck the corn and take the knives and cut it off the cobs and, you know, and then pressure down and can that corn. And we didn't mind doing it after one or two winters without, you know, it was fun to just pack that old cellar full, you know. No quick trips back then, my friend. If you would have asked somebody to run down to the quick trip, they would have said, what are you talking about? You know, a quick trip to what? I'm going to tell you something, though. That was good food. It sure, this stuff we get today doesn't compare to good old home canning. It just, it had it over it. I'm not digressing. I'm purposely doing this because that is old in the covenant is good. All right? That's the real flavor. That's the real thing that will strengthen your life. That was 2000 B.C. That was a what? A schoolmaster only to teach. Didn't God say, I will teach you? That's what He does in His Word. And rather than to understand the letting of blood, He goes back way back there. Sets the whole thing in motion. And sure enough, here come all these things to pass. And many people just sit around and say, I wonder what's happening. You know? And it's all happening right before you. Our Father is true to His Word. And His Word is wonderful. Hebrews chapter 9. Let's go there for a moment. In closing, I'm not quite that ready to quit, but I mean, this is the last place we're going to anyway. Hebrews 9. I could go on the covenants for 4 or 5 weeks. While you're turning to Hebrews chapter 9, I'm going to just read the first. The covenant is listed, the final covenant concerning the millennium. I'm going to read it from chapter 8 real quick while you're turning there. Verse 10 of chapter 8. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Amen. My people. And they shall not teach each man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest, for I will be merciful to their uprighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Don't want to hear about them after you repent. All right? I just wanted to instill that we're talking about the covenant. Okay? Let's go over about to verse, skip down if you would, to about verse 19. I'm going to go all the way back to Moses. For when Moses, this is chapter 9, Hebrews, verse 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept, in other words, this was the common thing. The whole word was taught at that time to all the people according to the law. He took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool, hyssop, sprinkled both the book, that's to say the scroll, and all the people. Do you see how convenient Christ has made it for you? Otherwise, we'd all have to get sprinkled. See? I mean, that was the law. Sprinkled with the blood of the covenant. 20, saying, This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you, or for you. He's the one that walked through. Moreover, He sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. 22. And almost all things I would rather say, in fact, you might say, all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. If Christ had not shed His blood for you. Friends, I'm sorry, you would have to sit on your sins like an old hen sets on eggs. All right, hatching eggs. Setting eggs, that's what we called them, wasn't it? Yeah. Meaning they were fertilized and all that stuff. But you'd just ride them all your life. But He made it so convenient, rather than being sprinkled and so forth, year in, year out, that with His blood, one and for all times, you're covered. Which means atoned. Do always remember that, for without shedding of blood is no remission. No remission of sins. It was therefore necessary that the patterns, that's to say the copy, those types that you were taught by, of things in the heavens should be purified with these. Do you think things in heaven are going to be purified with the blood of goats? Think about it. But the heavenly things themselves, even better sacrifices than these, meaning more noble. What is the heavenly thing? The Son of God. Or what was His name, really? Let's get down. Let's shuck it right on down. Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Who really paid the price? That's my point. He did more than walk through the fire. 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, just examples of the true, types, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Do you understand the difference? I mean, before this, once a year, I mean, nobody got into that Holy of Holies. The Ark of the Covenant was in there, God's covenant. And once a year, this chief priest, I'm sure, trembling. They would even put bells on his feet because anybody that went in there not legal were killed. As long as they could hear the bells, they knew his pump was still going. Okay, so in he would go and sprinkle the blood of animals and so forth. And what was it, the Holy of Holies? It was made by hands. It wasn't heaven. It was a type. When you see it, you see what, you get a little peek at heaven. He said, now you don't have to deal with that because Christ sprinkled the blood one and for all times, His lifeblood, and then entered not the Holy of Holies made by hands, a tent, a tabernacle, but heaven, and took a seat, not on that Ark and the mercy seat in that Holy of Holies, but on the actual altar of the living God, and there He sits, to make intercession for you today. You talk about being hooked in to the most capable counselor in the world. You are. He sits at the right hand of God. He can do anything. He chooses anything in His will. We are so fortunate that when we get in trouble, that He has already shed the blood for our sins after, everything's conditional, my dear one, after you repent. After that, He said, hey, don't bring that up to me again. Why? Because if you bring it up to Him a second time, you don't believe He was able. You don't believe His blood was able to forgive your sins. And you're calling Him a fake. He doesn't like that. Oh, but I feel so guilty. Then be a believer and free. When you repent, you are forgiven. Don't try to con Him, but when you repent honestly, it's over, friend. He sits at the right hand of God. Verse 25, nor yet that He should offer Himself often. This doesn't have to take place over and over. as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared as Emmanuel to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's the covenant, my friend. That's the covenant forever. 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. 28, so Christ once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look on him, for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That is the covenant. Again, who was it made with? You know, people sleep so well, as poor old Abraham slept. Many of you have heard that word covenant before in the Hebrew tongue, but you didn't recognize it, maybe. What did I say it was? Brit. Have you ever heard of the British? Do you know what ish means in the Hebrew tongue? Man. Then what is Brit? Covenant man. Many of you, if you were to read Romans chapter 9, it said, only in Isaac is the seed called. Do you know what the word Saxon is? Saxon? Saxony? It's Isaac's sons. You see, the covenant is real, and we live in it daily. And that nation of Ephraim and Manasseh, the largest tribe, it was predicted in Genesis 49 and in other places that it would be a commonwealth of nations. There's only one commonwealth of nations. It's not the USA. However, it was part of that commonwealth at one time. But there was a division. But it fulfilled those prophecies in God's Word. It happened, though it dwindles and though there has been a decrease. But the fact still changes. I mean, still remains. That when a king or a queen, when their coronation takes place to sit upon that throne, that they must sit, be their coronation, their crowning must take place over that stone of scone, Jacob's pillar, that was carried through the deserts, through the migrations. And the first word, the first duty of that king or queen are these words, protector of the faith. What faith? The covenant. So, I just thought I wanted to talk on these things. Some might call, that's so simple. Well, is it really? Sure, it's simple. When you understand. It is a strange thing when you work in languages as I do, and I've had to work in Gaelic quite a bit. And in the Gaelic tongue, Saxon is still Saxon. All right? Still there. We carry these things with us. But how soon we forget.
Well, I guess the sun will come up today, yeah. And it'll go down tonight. It happens every day, doesn't it?
Amazing. Amazing. Stop and enjoy the sunrise and the sunset and the day and the signs that are around you. For God is not a liar. And every covenant and every promise will come to pass and come exactly as it's written. The question is, are you going to be a part? Because this was conditional. That is to say, the promise on the individual level. I promise you, it is not conditional that throne will always have someone on it until he who returns, whose right it is to sit. But in your daily life, it is conditional. If you take part in the covenant, in other words, if you obey it as best you can, and how could you help but want to try when he has remission built in for you, automatic? Not, you know, automatic if you repent, then you have all those blessings of His teaching, His helping your mind, His helping your family, His helping your walk in life, of helping you do things. Once you document that you're a covenant person that He can covenant with and that you will do your best to do it His way. That's important, my friend. Not your way. Well, I want to do it this way. I know I want to serve God, but I'm going to do it this way. Well, hey, wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. It's a good way to spend your time, maybe, because He probably couldn't have used you in the first place. Covenant people. Christ being He that actually walked through the pieces for you. That being the schoolmaster, that you, on repentance, have that forgiveness. Is it not strange that God chose 3-year-old this, 3-year-old that, 3-year-old this, and that Christ's ministry would be that 3 years, that He would be crucified when He was 33, and 3 being the number in biblical numerics of the Godhead itself? God's plan is so perfect, and it flows so smoothly over the buds of your mind when you ask Him to bless your mind whereby you can hear and to know, yes, our people, whoever the people are, have a place in God's Word. I don't care what tribe, what nation, we're all God's children. You have a place. It was written to you for your understanding, for your education, for your blessing. Because God, to the upright, is always good and He is always merciful. Do you know what the last covenant was that He cut? Cut being the meaning of covenant? Was the covenant of grace. The covenant of grace is the simplicity of serving Him for those that believe on Christ. Did that covenant change the first covenant? No. Did that covenant that He gave Abram change the covenant that He gave Noah? No. He replaced some things. But the covenant concerning the rainbow is still as real as it was the day He gave it. Every time you see a rainbow, that's God shaking you and saying, I will never flood this earth again with water. I know down in the south now some people are wondering about this, but not like it was in Noah's day. Okay. God is true to His Word. The confusion that many people have is not to realize that some of the types were traded in for the actual gift. And many of the things were nailed to the cross with Christ. But it changed not one iota of the law. And to be a part, you must participate. Now understand what I said. Let me not got to obey the law. Thou shalt not steal. Yeah, I'd say you should. Thou shalt not rob banks. Yeah? I like seeing you around. I don't want you sent to the pen. Well, I didn't know the law was in effect. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And people pretty soon are calling you a liar. And your reputation just bit the dust. And you're worthless. Why? You broke the law. Of course they're in effect. Nonsense and stupidity. But the greatest gift of all is the covenant of grace, that when we do break, when we do fall short, we can repent. But He still has a people, and those people have a duty to do. And I thank God for all of you that we in one body are taking that truth to so many in this day in the world. And God continues blessing. So we must be doing something right. I thank Him for that. Never have so few had an opportunity to serve in such a miraculous way of pushing buttons and covering the whole earth just like that. It's a miracle. It actually is. I thank him for that. Did it take one really brilliant man? No, it took a whole family of brilliant people. You're looking at them right out there, working together. That causes God to bless. So, covenant people, that's what you are when you believe and you love Jesus Christ. Okay, Father, we thank you for the privilege of serving you. Father, we thank you for the covenant, all of the covenants, Father, through the years. Thank you for being so merciful and good to us. We ask it in Jesus, Yeshua's name. Amen.